Hello and welcome to God's Word is Truth, the radio ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota. We live in a day when many church members don't hunger for the faithful preaching of God's Word, a day when many who call themselves Christians would rather be entertained on Sunday morning than hear the faithful preaching of God's Word. The truth really doesn't matter to many people today. Many church members ask, how does it make me feel or does it work? But seldom do they ask if it's biblical. That's why there's so much distortion and worship, doctrine, and living in the Christian church today. What about you? Do you hunger for God's Word? Do you realize how important preaching the truth of God's Word is in the life of the church? It's the gospel message that the Spirit of God uses to convert the souls of sinners and translate them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan to God. Only the gospel of Jesus Christ is the power of God unto salvation for all who believe. Do you believe the gospel? Listen for the next 15 minutes to God's Word is Truth and hear what God says to us from His infallible and errant inspired Word. At the end of today's program, information about God's Word is Truth will be made available. Today we come to the question answer number one, which is really a great heartbeat in many of Reformed Christians. And if you simply listen to the question, what is your only comfort in life and in death? That is a question that everybody needs to ask themselves. The pounding in the heart, the car crash, the breaking of the glass, the call from the doctor saying we ran all the tests and it's cancerous, or the answering machine, you get home and you press play and it's a relative saying that, you know, mom died, or the police knocking at your door in the middle of the night saying your child was killed in a car crash. All the many different things that happen to us in this life, the question that you need to answer is, what is your only comfort in life and in death? The day that you come to die, the day that you're laying in the hospital, the day that you hear these traumatic words of the doctor that it's cancerous, that drops you to your knees, where's your comfort at? Where are you going to run? What are you going to grab hold of? What's going to give you solace at those times? And that is a question for each one of us. And Dan, I think you got an answer already there.
Well, you know, I think that word comfort really hits the nail on the head, because a lot of times I don't think we spend enough time thinking about these things, because you think about, when do you need comforting? It's during those troubling times. We don't need comfort during the good times. And you think of how good our life is here on earth for many of us. We don't hear those tragic moments and times. And I don't think enough of us actually think about, you know, what are we hanging our hat on? What is our comfort in life and in death after this?
Do you think it's the so many things going on in life? I know there is a suppression of wanting to speak about these truths. I mean, people get uncomfortable when you start speaking about death, when you speak about sickness. People don't like to hear that. They don't like to talk about that. They don't like to confront that issue. But, you know, everybody drives by cemeteries and everybody sees the people that have once lived and are now buried, and their soul is either with the Lord or is in hell right now. And yet you can't avoid it. You have to face it. You have to face that question in life. It's a foundational question for every one of us as mortal beings. Is, what is your comfort in this life? What comfort do you have? Do you have comfort in your job? Is that where you find your comfort? Because you're going to lose your job one day. Is your comfort in your money? I mean, I know people that amass great wealth on this earth. J. Paul Getty was one who was a billionaire. And when he was asked the question, how much is enough? His answer was simply, a little bit more. It was never enough. Because even as the proverb says, that the man who has riches never has riches enough. He loves those riches and he accumulates and he desires more and more in his life. But all of the things that are seen, as the scripture says, are temporary. And they are coming to an end. They will all break down. They will all rust. Solomon speaks about the man in Ecclesiastes who labors in his life and he has not God in his life. He doesn't trust in God. He denies God. He lives for pleasure. He lives for the fulfillment of all of his earthly sensual pleasures. And he says, is vain. it's vanity of vanity. And Solomon is a man who had everything and said, I've tried everything, and it's all grasping after the wind. And one of the things which is pretty humorous, what Solomon says there is, he amassed so much money, and he says, what fool am I going to give it to when I die? Who's going to get my stuff? Right? So this is a question. What's your only comfort in life and in death? The Catechism responds in this way, that I, notice how personal that is. It's speaking to each of us as we are, we confess these as in the Reformed Church, as we confess this truth, it's speaking very personally, as we are the one saying that this is our comfort. My comfort is found in this, that I, with my being, body and soul, both in life and in death, I'm not my own. That's a comfort. What does the Catechism mean, that I'm not my own? Because this is America, isn't it? This is the world in which we live, and I'm the captain of my own ship. I'm the master of my own destiny. Isn't that what does this mean here, that I'm not my own?
Well, that's the tough part. Society, especially the TV, is telling you that you deserve to be happy. You deserve to be comfortable. But they never tell you what that happiness is. There is never, you are never told what the standard of happiness is. To the Christian, you need to examine that. And you are told here that you are not your own, which is the complete opposite, as you say, of what you are told. You are told that you deserve all these things, and you are in control of your own domain, and yet you're not. You are owned by God. And so there's the contradiction, if you will, between the Christian worldview and the world's worldview.
And this becomes a real issue with the teaching that goes on with TV, what our kids listen to. They're inoculated with these things from the world, and they grow up with this mentality. And what the issue then becomes is they come into the church, and there is immediately a clash of worldviews, because the world says that you can have comfort in amassing the money. The world says that you can have comfort if you only drive this car. Happiness, joy, pleasure. You're not happy if you don't have this motorcycle. And it goes on and on with material things. And that never deals with the issue of when I die and I stand before my Creator, my Maker. And make no mistake about it. If you're out there listening this morning, and you're thinking about what we're talking about with the reality of the true and living God, you know that God exists. The scriptures are very clear that says all men know that God exists. You may be suppressing the truth in unrighteousness, but you know in your heart that there is a Creator, and you know that eternity is in your heart, and you know that you must give an account to the one who holds your very breath in His hands. And so this is what the Catechism here in question and answer number one is dealing with. It's dealing with the realities of life, realities which are not even seen in this temporal realm as of yet. The realities of heaven, which the scriptures, as we have a foretaste, the Catechism says, we have a beginning of the tasting of eternal life, and as the Christian, we have that now, because our only comfort is this, that I'm not my own. I don't do my own thing. I've been purchased by another. I belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ. That is the great comfort, because Jesus is described in Scripture as the Good Shepherd. He is described as the one who, because He is our Good Shepherd, we don't have lack. The Shepherd has taken responsibility for His people, and to know that He has merited eternal life for me. He has laid down His life and shed His blood and suffered on the cross the eternal, infinite wrath of God. He suffered eternal condemnation, the second death, that I would not suffer the second death. He cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? That I might be one who says, there is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That I might be one who says that nothing can ever separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Why? Because I'm not my own. I've been purchased. That is the comfort that the Catechism speaks about. Now, what is the Catechism referring to in this phrase here? But I belong to my faithful Savior. How do I belong to Him? Why do I belong to Him?
Because He purchased us with His blood, by His dying on that cross.
Why you? Why would He purchase you? Why would He purchase me? Why would He purchase Greg? What about Harlan? Why would He purchase Harlan?
It's not by our own merits, I can tell you that.
We say amen to that.
It's not because we were good or deserving of it. It was by His grace. It's by His grace alone.
And when is it, as the scriptures speak, did God determine who it is that He was going to redeem?
Scriptures are pretty clear about that. As before the foundations of the earth, before He even created this world, He knew who He was going to save.
Yeah, and that's boggling of the mind. Mm-hmm. I heard, was talking to a friend here this past week, and he was talking about conversations that he's had with other people who talk about God is big, you know, God is real big. That doesn't capture at all the being of God. The scriptures describe God as immense, as infinite, as transcendent, as eternal. That boggles the mind. I mean, I can understand big. You know, I mean, the building over there is big. The house is big. That's a big guy. And that's relative, you see. So when you say that God is big, it's relative to something. But God is not, cannot be related to the created realm. God is outside of this time and space. When they created the Hubble telescope, you know, they were so excited because they would go out and they would see the outermost edges of the universe. And when they created it and they started looking through, they found out that it went on for light years beyond that they couldn't see. God created all those things. So, you know, it said with David wanted to build a house for the Lord, and the Lord responded, "No, I'm going to make you into a house." He says, what house are you going to build for me? You know, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. What could you possibly make for me? So that is the God who has redeemed us. And known unto God from eternity are all His works. So it was always in the mind of God. Now, that boggles the mind of the believer. The immensity, the how God's mind, how is infinite. It's beyond. I mean, His thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are not our ways. There's so many things that we cannot comprehend, because He is infinite and we are finite. And so the Catechism says that we belong to this Savior, and this is the God who has redeemed us. He has given us to His Son, and His Son has come to this world. And He has lived perfectly all the righteous requirements of the law. He has fulfilled every one of them. And then He went to the cross to lay down His life for the sheep of His pasture, those given to Him. And that's the comfort, that we were lost sheep, and then He came and He redeemed us.
That's right. So as we close it up, let's summarize what we've got so far in the Catechism. It says, "What is our only comfort in life and in death? That I, with body and soul, both in life and in death, am not my own, but belong to my faithful Savior, Jesus Christ." And that's where we got so far.
Well, Lord willing, until next time, we will come back and begin dealing with this question and answer number one again. God's Word is Truth is a listener-supported broadcast, and therefore we count on your financial support to help keep this program on the air. So if you've been edified by what you've just heard, would you please consider faithfully supporting us by your financial gifts? Any amount of support would be greatly appreciated. If you'd like more information about Providence Reformed Church, please visit us on the web at www.providencerccus.com. There you will find our contact information if you'd like to leave us your feedback or donate to our ministry. We'd also like to extend an invitation to all who are listening to this program to come worship with us. We meet every Sunday morning at 830 Madison Street, Vermilion, South Dakota. Our Sunday school begins at 9:30 a.m. and our worship service begins at 10:30 a.m. God's Word is Truth is a ministry of Providence Reformed Church, Vermilion, South Dakota, and we thank you for your support and pray that the Lord will richly bless you as you walk by faith in Jesus Christ, for He truly is the only hope of the nations.